On Sunday, a college in New England that you've never heard of is going to celebrate commencement exercises for 20 students. And they've chosen a convicted cop killer as their speaker. He's not going to be there physically. He's serving a life sentence without parole in Pennsylvania. Instead, he's used his telephone access to record a message. Mumia Abu-Jamal is a murderer. For years, people all over the country have taken up this killer's cause and turned him into a hero. These people appear to be completely ignorant of what actually happened in his case. Look, in 2008, I wrote a memoir about the widow of this murdered officer, a book called Murdered by Mumia, which was a New York Times bestseller. I accepted no proceeds from the sale of the book. But let me tell you the real story. On December 9, 1981, at about 4 a.m., 25-year-old Daniel Faulkner was executed while making what seemed like a routine traffic stop. Faulkner pulled over the brother of Abu-Jamal, William Cook, who was driving his car the wrong way on a one-way street. Abu-Jamal saw the police stop from across the street. Four eyewitnesses testified at trial as to what happened next. Their testimony portrayed a horrific sequence. Abu-Jamal ran across the street, shot the officer in the back, and then finally between the eyes. Before that final fatal shot, Officer Faulkner himself discharged his gun, hitting Abu-Jamal in the stomach, and with that bullet, you could say he confirmed the identity of his executioner. When police arrived, Abu-Jamal was still wearing his shoulder holster. The murder weapon was registered to Abu-Jamal. He'd purchased it at a local sporting goods store. Ballistics tests verified that the bullets found in Abu-Jamal's gun were the same caliber, brand, and type as the fatal bullet removed from the police officer's brain. Both men were taken to a local ER. Faulkner was pronounced dead. Abu-Jamal was heard by multiple witnesses to say, "I shot the MF-er, and I hope the MF-er dies." So the case had eyewitnesses, a ballistics match, and a confession. Danny Faulkner left behind a young widow, Maureen, who for three decades has had to stand up to a torrent of lies and information, misinformation, about the case. And for reasons that have never made sense, Abu-Jamal has been championed the world over by death penalty opponents. Whenever I'm educating someone about the case, in addition to what I've already told you, I always like to point one fact. Abu-Jamal's brother, William Cook, he saw it all. His words to police upon their arrival were, "I ain't got nothing to do with it." And he's never testified on his brother's behalf. Let me say that again. The brother of the man convicted of killing the cop has himself never taken to the stand to tell a different story, and he was there. In 1982, a multiracial jury heard the case. They convicted Abu-Jamal, and then they sentenced him to death. For a quarter century, an endless cycle of Abu-Jamal appeals made a mockery of the judicial system. His defense team attracted a long list of celebrity supporters. Ed Asner, Whoopi Goldberg, Mike Farrell are among them. A street was renamed for him in France. NPR gave him his own radio show, and he wrote several books. This all after he was convicted of murdering a cop. Now, back at home in Philadelphia, Abu-Jamal was never able to cultivate community support except from some fringe types. People at home, they know what happened. They don't buy into the Hollywood lore. In 2011, Abu-Jamal's death sentence was ultimately overturned on a technicality. He's currently serving life without parole. Abu-Jamal will die in jail. That's a fate more civilized than that which he offered to Danny Faulkner. Sadly, the idea that he would be a college commencement speaker is not unprecedented. It happened in 1999 in the state of Washington and again in the year 2000 at a school in Ohio. I attended the second of those events with Maureen Faulkner in protest of what was taking place. And what I recall most from that experience 14 years ago was concluding that the students desperately wanted attention. They loved the media spectacle their invitation generated, which is why now I will not identify the Vermont college that on Sunday will disrespect a police officer murdered in the line of duty. It's bad enough that for 32 years, Abu-Jamal has succeeded in making it all about him. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter as long as you can spell Smirkanish. I'll see you next week.